Agenda paper 10 analyzes three suggestions made by respondents to the exposure draft reference to the conceptual framework. The first suggestion is to add to IFRS 3 an additional exception to its recognition principle for current tax liabilities and assets within the scope of IFRIC 23, uncertainty over income tax treatment. The staff recommendation is in paragraph 29. The staff recommend the board does not add the exception for current tax liabilities and assets. Do you agree?
Mary?
I agree with the staff recommendation, and I guess I just wanted to comment that I think there's a narrower population of items than some of the responses we got might suggest, because if you think about IFRIC 23, it's really a measurement. It's really measurement guidance. How do you measure items that are not probable of being, it's only current taxes, and it's how do you measure items that are not probable, positions that are not probable of being sustained. So it's addressing that population. So, well, I think especially when you get into the potential for existence uncertainty, there's perhaps the theoretical small slice of population, but I think the concern is overstated, and that does factor into my assessment of supporting the staff recommendation.
I am aware that there were some other stakeholders who, having noticed this comment in other comment letters, considered it themselves and came to very much the same conclusion as yours, Mary.
Tadeu?
Thank you. Just a clarification. We are not adding anything in relation to the concern that we could have a day one or day two gain or loss because of the IFRIC 23.
I think that we are not adding, we are certainly not adding any significant new day two gains or losses that will be significant in practice. As Mary said, there are these that are theoretical situations, and depending on how you interpret both the requirements of IFRS 3 and IFRIC 23, there may be some circumstances in which you might get some slight difference, but there are potentials for day two gains and losses at the moment, and that's largely measurement, and nothing, the updating the reference will change that.
I mean, that is
so
just
it's not significant.
It goes beyond the scope of what we are proposing. Yes. Just paragraph 56.
Yep.
Referred in the IFRS 3. After initial recognition, until the liability is settled, canceled or expires, the acquirer shall measure a contingent liability recognized in a business combination at the higher of, and then we refer to IAS 37, IFRS 15. My question is, if we are dealing with IAS income tax issues that should be covered through the IFRIC 23 interpretation, this paragraph would also applicable to this contingent liability?
Well, that's how I interpret IFRS 3 could be applied. I think that's a matter of interpretation. It's how I interpreted they would apply.
Because it could sort it out, the problem for the liability side.
Yeah.
But we don't have the same solution for the asset side.
No. Okay. But there is already an inherent tension or difference in contingent assets between IFRS 3 and IAS 12, if there was any, there are already requirements in IFRS 3 for contingent assets, and we are not changing these. So Yeah, it's where it gets most difficult to interpret is the contingent asset bit. But that is, as Mary said, a sort of theoretical possibility, but not the normal situations, which is one of measurement.
As we are addressing some of the concerns in the comment thread, I'm just wondering whether we could just to come back to some of those that raised the issue to be whether we are not leaving anything outside because
so
of the...
To go back to the respondents who raised the issue.
Yes, yeah. I think that would be a good idea because there were some.
Yeah.
I know that there is one leading comment letter.
But well, there was one early comment letter that raised the point, and I suspect that there were a few others who then raised it, but using very similar words, and I think maybe they were just picking up on that first comment letter. So maybe going back to the first, it was one of the large accounting firms, going back to them and just discussing it with them and making sure there's nothing we've missed. I could do that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, can we support the staff's recommendation?
The second suggestion is to redraft the requirements for contingent liabilities to distinguish exception to the IFRS 3 recognition principle from applications of that principle. The staff recommendation is in paragraph 35. The staff recommends the board confirms the exposure draft proposal to locate all the requirements for initial recognition of provisions, contingent liabilities, and contingent assets within the section headed exception to the recognition principle without distinguishing exceptions from applications of that principle. Do you agree?
Do we agree?
14.
Last suggestion is to clarify requirements for reliable measurement. The staff recommendation is in paragraph 42. The staff recommend the board clarifies in the basis for conclusions on the amendment that updating the reference to the conceptual framework does not change IFRS 3 requirements for recognition of assets and liabilities whose fair values are subject to measurement uncertainty. You agree?
Mary.
I think it would be helpful to give some clarification on this point, but I guess I bristled a bit at the notion of us saying, woe is me, we misrepresented the status of the conceptual framework in BC 125. I think to get to that as a misrepresentation, you'd have to read a sentence in isolation in the basis, kind of ignoring a lot of other more authoritative and relevant commentary about that. So maybe something that's a bit less judgmental would be helpful, perhaps doing something like put an asterisk by BC 125 that says see new basis for conclusion paragraph in this respect. And there's, I think, I'm looking at Rachel with this, there's some, I think, very much on point discussion in the conceptual framework about the conceptual framework does not override specific requirements of applicable standards, and BC 125 should not be taken to contradict that. I thought people were going overboard in terms of raising confusion about the interplay of the conceptual framework and clearly applicable standards.
Nick?
I think the issues embedded in BC 125 are a common misunderstanding, actually, when I read why people often go back to the reliability criteria to explain why that's been suspended, to explain why certain assets and liabilities, or assets in particular, are now recognised. In the interest of simplicity and getting away from complexity, I would probably be at a different place in that I would look to, I know we don't normally do it, eliminate the paragraph. I think it's unhelpful entirely. We could put some words around it to explain why we had done that, but leaving it in just creates confusion to my mind.
Yeah, I think this paragraph is really confusing and can misread about what the conceptual framework really meant. So I understand deletion is one of the options, but I don't think this is the only paragraph we need to deal with that kind of issue. So I think if there is any way that the new amendment can, I mean, the BC, new BC paragraph can address this issue slightly about how to live it. I mean, people don't use this paragraph when they apply the standards, but people might look at this paragraph to how the conceptual principle exists in the past and how it should be connected to the basis of the current standards. So I think there is something additional kind explanation should be added.
Okay.
So,
following on from Nick's comments, I also wrote in the margin of my paper, why don't we just delete it? Because I just wonder whether it's harder for people to have to read BC 125 and then hope that they find the other paragraph later on to realise that we don't necessarily agree with what's there.
I can see from Françoise's body language that she agrees with Sue. Is that correct, Françoise?
Yes, it is.
Ah! I hear you. Can I see who would be supportive?
Actually, agree with that.
But what does the staff think?
I understand why the board prefers not to delete paragraphs of basis for conclusions because they're a record of past decisions. I think in this particular case, it's not a helpful record. And because it's a sole paragraph, it's not interacting with other paragraphs around it. I think it could be deleted.
Yeah, that's my question is, we do say measured reliably lots in the standard, and this is a fairly hasty elimination of a paragraph that was written to help justify the standard. Yeah. So if you tell me that this will do no harm, that everyone who goes to the basis will understand what's happening in the standard, I'm okay to eliminate it. But it seems like a pretty quick elimination.
I understand your point entirely, and you wouldn't want to make decisions on the hoof. As it happens, this was something we looked through already, because that was my first inclination, was to recommend deleting it. I think somebody who had raised the point at one point, one of them had said, why don't you just delete it? So we had looked at it, and it was quite a balanced decision that we came down on, let's explain it rather than delete it. But I didn't see any fundamentals in problems with deleting this, having looked through the basis and thought of the knock-on implications. It sits in its own section as a single paragraph and doesn't really interact with the paragraphs around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mary, yeah?
But I would love to delete it. That's simpler and more straightforward. There's the context Tom raised it in, and would you understand the document that was issued with that paragraph deleted? And are we sure that's appropriate? But I think there is the more general point of, in what circumstances do we amend paragraphs of a basis for conclusion? And if we do it once and say, listen, this is an exception, but it's not that I love this policy, but I think there's a pretty fundamental policy about we only delete paragraphs from the basis when we're removing the standard or the piece of the standard that they apply. And we're careful when we carry forward basis, when we carry forward material from a standard into a new standard, that we label the basis paragraphs that are carried forward in some way that distinguishes them, like the BCZ, approach. So I just kind of urge caution from a process perspective, forgetting about what on earth the paragraph discusses.
But I think we are being cautious, which is why Tom rightly asked the staff for reassurance, because I think I actually when I read this whole paper, I felt sorry for our stakeholders, I have to say, because I agree with the previous two decisions and, you know, I could live with what you've recommended here on question three, but in an environment where people talk to us about complexity and who the heck knows what that means, do we seriously want to have a situation where we knowingly saying that we think we've got a paragraph which misrepresents something?
Okay. Well, who agrees that less is more in this case?
13.
No, Francois.
All right. Well, we're still ahead of schedule, but shall we just break till 1 o'clock? Okay. Thank you very much.